Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to bridging the gap between adventure and adventurer by helping people select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. If you are a regular listener, you know that WFAE has been conducting the Queen City PodQuest, a search for the latest, greatest podcast, or at least for podcast producers who have an idea that our judges think or thought just might take them to new heights. Well, over the weekend, the decision was made in front of a live audience.
Drum roll, please. After 6 months, almost 400 entrants, nearly 100,000 votes, more than 60 hours of PodQuest mentorship and training, the grand prize winner, Charlotte's Next Great Podcast, as determined by tonight's panel of judges, receiving a cash prize of $1,000 and a podcast development deal at WFAE. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in applauding the Queen City PodQuest winner. Work it.
A little dramatic. That's the voice of WFAE's Joni Deutsch, our on-demand content and audience engagement guru. She is with us in our Spirit Square studio, and since this was her baby, I will let her introduce our two winners.
Well, thanks.
But first, let me turn your mic on. I'm a professional. You may have noticed. Go ahead.
It's okay. We're in radio land now. Yes, I was honored to be able to help with this Queen City PodQuest for the last, 6 months now, December 2018. So Work It was the winning team of the night out of five finalists as determined by the judges, as I mentioned in my dramatic voice. And in that team of Work It, Stephanie Hale is one of the hosts. Kevin Young, who's not with us this morning, but who is also with us this morning, is Jill Bierz. And both of them, Stephanie and Jill, are here to chat about their idea and how it came about.
Well, good morning and congratulations.
Good morning. Good morning.
Was it a big surprise? I mean,
yes.
Did you jump out of your skin when your podcast was named?
So I have never won anything in my entire life ever, and I was pretty sure that there was no way we were going to win, and I was totally shocked. My kids in the audience were totally shocked that their mom could win anything. So it was a pretty fun experience.
What about you, Jill?
I'm still surprised. I actually listened to that dramatic announcement multiple times over the weekend and sent it out to my family to prove that I actually did win, because I don't think they believed me.
Let's go back over those numbers, Joni, for a second, because you said almost 400 entrants.
Right.
I think 370 was the number exactly.
It was.
100,000 votes.
Votes, yeah.
Good Lord. Mm-hmm. And you narrowed the entries down to a top five, and over the weekend at the NASCAR Hall of Fame, you had the unveiling of the winner. How surprised were you that so many people entered this thing?
Surprised. I mean, you have, I think the recent stat, there's like 700,000 podcast on Apple Podcast, but and you think that's huge, but then you look at the numbers of individuals, like total audience that could be for podcasting. Not everyone listens to podcasts. We think it's the big thing. We think every single person on earth listens to it. It's growing in popularity, but not a lot of people listen, and even less so make them. So I was expecting 100, maybe 200 in the Charlotte area to submit their ideas. But as you said, almost 370-some, and we had high schoolers, college graduates, we had retirees. While some of them were established podcasters, a lot of them had never even thought of recording their voice or their stories.
What does that say about podcasts and podcasting?
I think it just is it's the great equalizer. You know, we work in radio, you and I, Mike, and, you know, we love our jobs, obviously. It's why we do it. But we're in a position that not a lot of others have by being on a microphone, by being able to share our stories or the stories of our community. And I think that's what podcasting allows. It's allowing you to take up your iPhone audio memo app and record something and share it with others. And you don't have to feel like you need a public radio voice or you need to hit a certain demographic. It's just a beautiful thing.
Had either of you, Jill or Stephanie, ever done a podcast before you started working on your submission for the contest?
I had never done a podcast before, and we still have only done our pitch. We haven't produced our first episode yet.
What? Get out.
I know.
Yeah. I've been interviewed on a couple, but I've never produced one. The idea of producing one terrifies me. So,
really, why?
Because I think it.
See how easy this is. This is just a podcast on the radio.
Yeah, like this looks easy, but I think somebody else is doing the hard part.
What is it about podcasting for you? Why do you want to do this? Because it actually is, newsflash, a lot of work.
So the reason I want to do a podcast is because I think, first of all, I think audio is so cool. I think it's in my opinion, it's superior to video and other forms of media because you don't have to give it your 100% attention, but you can give it a deeper attention than you could give even video because it's like a hot medium. Like, you've got to be there imagining it yourself. So you can clean the house while you do it, or you can just sit there and be totally immersed in a way that you can't really with video. So I love the format and have wanted to do something. I mean, honestly, like, if I had to do this thing a few years ago where it's like, if you weren't doing your current job, what job would you be doing? And I literally wrote down Mike Collins' job.
Really? And
absolutely.
Watch out, Mike. Here.
You said you're not feeling well. I'll take it. But to have just the opportunity to talk to people, bring their stories, have a conversation that's just really fun over and over with new people all the time, I can't think of anything that seems more fun than that.
Wow. What about you, Stephanie? Jill, excuse me.
That's all good. So I consume everything on demand. So podcasts are perfect for me because the only thing I sit down on time and watch live is Game of Thrones. But outside of that, I don't watch anything live. And so being able to consume a podcast on demand is amazing. So I'm really excited about like that prospect. But telling stories, like I really like getting to underneath somebody's story. And getting them to kind of peel back the layers of all of the surface chit chat that we do and get to something underneath it. So when Stephanie approached me with this idea, I was like totally on board.
Well, I was going to ask next question. There are three of you involved in this. It's Stephanie and Jill, our guests today, and also, I can't find his name.
Kevin Young.
Thank you, Kevin Young, who have come together. How did the three of you meet? Whose idea was this to do a podcast about working?
Stephanie's fault. It's all Stephanie's fault.
Maybe it's Steve's fault. So we have a friend named Steve Nazarian, and he came to me and said, have you heard about the Queen City PodQuest? Do you have an idea? And I have been thinking about this idea about work because I work in leadership development and executive coaching, and it's always so interesting to me when you start talking to somebody, even people who are very like successful in their careers, they have a complicated relationship with their job. You'd think they would be like on cloud nine with this big, powerful job where they're making a lot of money. But then in an intimate conversation with their coach, you hear a very different, more complicated kind of experience. And I'm just so intrigued by that. And I see it at every job. And that's just so interesting to me, that relationship people have with their job. So I wanted to do something about that. And I knew we were going to need great, like a team to do it. Jill and I know each other because we do TEDx speaker coaching together. And so I've seen Jill have somebody come in the room with a story that they think they want to tell and then leave with something much more vulnerable, much deeper, and much more connected to their actual unique experience. So I knew she would be a great person to help engage in these stories. And then Kevin is... Kevin wins everything. Like, Spartan Races wins everything. Nobody comes in ahead of Kevin on anything. And so since this was a competition, I was like, Kevin, how do you win something? Can you just show me that? And he did.
Clearly. So what did he tell you? What's the secret sauce?
Work really, really hard and get a bunch of other people to work hard for you. So that's the thing about, like, the Facebook voting round was getting a bunch of other people to work hard for you. And it's, for me, that was, like, torture to be, like, begging family and friends to vote for you.
To vote early and often.
Oh, gosh. Every single day.
Yeah. And that was the thing, is that part of this Queen City PodQuest was allowing the community to, yes, of course, submit their ideas, but also for the community to vote for those ideas. WFAE didn't really do a lot of judging in this process. It was external factors. The community voting for those hundreds of entrants, which then made a top five, which work it was one of the five. And then after that, the judges at the last Saturday's live event, they are the ones that determined the winner of the night. So we really put the power of podcasting in the hands of the community.
Tell me why, Joni, because you are in charge of our podcast department here at WFAE, and we produce a lot of award-winning podcasts. Why was WFAE, why were you interested in going out and seeking somebody who will not become part of the station necessarily, and helping them to find themselves on a podcast, helping them to develop their podcast? Aren't we cannibalizing your podcasts and radio?
Never. No, I think what it is, it's saying, yes, we are making podcasts that are doing very well, the community or audiences internationally, like She Says with Sarah D'Elia or Tommy Tomlinson Southbound or FAQ City Nick Della Canale or even Amplifier, the one I host. But sometimes the best ideas don't come from the ones that are currently in your head. They come from the voices that typically aren't, working in your line of work. And in this case, it just allowed everyone outside of WFAE to say, hey, WFAE, these are the ideas that you're missing out on, the holes that you're not filling with news and information and even podcasts. So I think it was important to say, you know, the community has a voice in what we do. Otherwise, what's the point of a public radio station if we're not saying the public's involved in the process?
So what of the other submissions? So there were 370 submissions. Were they special interests, each of them, or were they general? They just wanted to do general topics. What were some of the things that people wanted to do with their podcast?
Oh, it just ranged. I will say probably a quarter of them, almost half of them, all had the same idea of, I want this to be Mike Collins Charlotte Talks, but with this, which I think is a very nice compliment.
You're going
to
pass those ideas
Talks.
Along.
Oh, well. But no, it was a lot of roundtable discussions and panel discussions. But then, I think more than half, though, were really just conversations about maybe beekeeping, or they were about wine, or they were about pregnancy or healthcare, sports, a lot of history podcasts. People wanted to know, what is the history of Charlotte? And a couple of dog podcasts. So really, if you name a genre or a topic, it probably was represented in this podcast.
So how did you narrow it down to five? There were five going into the weekend.
It was the community. I mean, the community in February, after we did the submission round in December of 2018 for about 2 months, and all those entries came in from all the counties around WFAE's listening area, we did a vote per day where anyone anywhere could vote for the podcast once per day that they wanted to see proceed to the next round of the podcast. So Work It was one of them. The other four in the top five receiving the most votes were Bicycling in the Queen City and Beyond, Next Door Docs, Teachable Moments, and then also Bicycling Queen City Beyond.
Choose Our Own Adventure.
Choose Our Own Adventure. Thank you. So those are the top five. And for the last 2 months, they have been receiving mentorship where they've learned everything there is to know about podcasting.
Yeah, I think you mentioned 69 hours of mentorship and technical advice.
Yes. It was each week we had a few different meetings and conversations because all five were different podcast topics. Choose Our Own Adventure is pop culture related. We had a medical one with Next Door Docs. The list goes on. And Work It, of course, being one that was about the in and outs, not so much of the work, but the people working it. They all have different concepts and formats. So, yeah, I mean, we went into marketing. We went into audience development. And, Mike, you even joined us for one of those mentorship calls to give advice on how to interview and to let people share their stories on the microphone.
So who were the judges, and what was the criteria they used to pick the winner?
So the judges on the PodQuest live finale, which took place last Saturday, were representatives from the community. So we had Brian Baltashevitz, who is the founder of the Queen City Podcast Network, which just launched here in Charlotte. WFAE's own Greg Collard, who some may know as being our newsroom director. We had Anasa Senegal from the CPCC. She's also a WFAE board member. The Gantt Center's Angie Chandler. And then also Creative Morning's Matt Olin, all representing different parts of the community.
Okay. When we come back, we'll hear a little snippet of your submission, Jill and Stephanie, to see why Work It got the nod from the judges as the winner of our Queen City PodQuest. We're coming right back at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, committed to drivers that believe a car is used for more than just getting from place to place. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. It's Charlotte Talks on Listener Funded, 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking to and about the winners of WFAE's PodQuest. The winning entry was Work It, and the two producers and hosts that we have with us, at least from Work It, are Jill Bierz and Stephanie Hale. Also with us, Joni Deutsch, who is our on-demand content and audience engagement manager at WFAE. This was her little baby, more than little, 370 entries, 100,000 votes, yikes. You had to come up with a pitch for this. You just couldn't say, okay, we want to be a part of your contest. I'm curious about what your elevator speech was. How did you position what you want to do as a podcast to WFAE, to the PodQuest people, and to the judges? How did you do it?
So you want the actual pitch we used in the competition, because we have that totally memorized.
Do you really?
Absolutely. I practiced it like 50 times.
It's like a TED Talk, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
But basically what the pitch was is that I've had conversations with people for years about their jobs. And every time I have one, I'm really amused by how it quickly goes to the relationship that people have with their jobs. So I gave a little example at the night of the pitch event where I know this guy who works like at one of the big banks as a mid-level manager in their IT department. Mm-hmm. And he loves his job, but it's not what's on his business card. What he actually does is leadership development work like what I do, but he has to do it under the guise of this IT title so HR doesn't find out and shut him down. And he's laughing the whole time he's telling me this because he loves that he's working, like doing great work for the company, but he also has to sneak around to do it, which adds like a little extra level of fun for him. And he loves being like subversive. Like he's doing great stuff, but nobody can find out. And it's so funny to me that like that's what he loves about, like that's a piece of what he loves about his job and a piece of the way he thinks about himself.
Yeah.
Is that he's doing this, you know, kind of countercultural thing, and it's powerful. And I want to tell those kinds of stories.
And you also, as part of your submission process, I guess, had to kind of produce a little bit of a podcast. And we're going to play a little piece from what you produced, because this is not some high level guy working at a $500,000 a year job and on the surface looking like he probably enjoys it because of all the money he makes. But really hating it because of all the pressure that comes along with it. This is a completely different kind of job. Let's hear a short clip.
So while recently visiting my parents, I went with my dad to his standing Thursday barber appointment. He's had this appointment for more than 55 years. To put that in perspective, my parents have been married for 48 years, which means my dad has been seeing his barber longer than he's been with my mom. So that got me curious about barbers in Charlotte. And what am I missing by not having a standing appointment with a barber? Like Buster.
Well, my government name is Andre Gilliard. I'm also known as Buster. I'm a barber. That's what I do. That's what I love.
It's different when you work in a job and you like, damn, I don't want to be here. I'm tired of this or that, blah, blah, blah. But it's different when you go into the job and you love what you do. I love what I do, and I love to cut hair.
To Buster, his job means a lot more than just clippers and scissors. It's independence, security, and community. After all, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Across town, another barber, Patrick, does the same exact job, but has a slightly different motivation.
My grandfather was a barber for 70 years, and then when it came time for me, I could feel myself wanting to carry on my family legacy and just the tradition that they've done for generations. It's always been about the relationships. Yes, I love that I get to be creative and get to work with my hands every day, but what truly matters to me is the relationships that I build with my guests.
Everybody has hair, and everybody needs to get it cut. We all have someone who plays this role in our lives. Patrick and Buster are just two examples of how Charlotte works it.
Hi, I'm Jill.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie. And this is the Work It Podcast,
where we have conversations with people about their relationships with their jobs and how it shapes their view of the world.
So there's a little snippet of what you submitted and was the winning submission. Will you be specifically seeking out people who love their work, or will you be talking to people who don't like their work, or people who have been affected positively or negatively by their work?
So, no, I think. The goal isn't to specifically look for people who have a positive take. We have a suspicion that those will be the people who primarily want to talk to us. But if you have something, a negative reaction to your job, or, you know, you have those deep mixed feelings, then we're not going to shy away from it, and we don't want to censor it.
Your podcast has production values to it. A lot of podcasts that I listen to, it's just basically somebody plays a little piece of music to start, and they sit here and they talk to this thing right here for however long they want to, and then it's over, and the next one is downloaded to your device. You have production value. You had to go out and interview people and edit and mix. What about this process surprised you? Because this is work.
Oh, my gosh, it's work. And it was what surprised me is how hard it is to write an episode. So Joni had us writing down like what we thought this episode was going to look like before we had interviewed people. Whoa. And we didn't know what we were going to find. What was also interesting and sort of difficult is to think about this podcast format where you've got to like hook them up front and then you got to do your little like, what is this? Like, what is the episode about? What is the podcast about? Who are these people? And then get into the story and then have it, you know, progress so that people are getting deeper and deeper and deeper as the story goes along. Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot more work and thought than just sitting in front of a microphone.
What do you hope listeners to your podcast will take from it?
A deeper understanding of like what it's like, what the experience of other people in Charlotte have. So that maybe they'll find a connection. You know, I've never thought about being a barber, ever. Huh. But I totally relate to the idea of if you do something that you love, you don't actually work. And the way Buster talks about work is he keeps saying he doesn't want a job. He doesn't have a job. He doesn't go to work. He does go to work. He just loves it. And so he doesn't think of it as work.
Right.
And so we hope that people will find that deeper connection and be able to see, you know, see how they relate to people that they may not necessarily think that they do.
But on the other hand, so one of the big inspirations for this podcast was Studs Terkel's book, Working.
Right.
And I'm sure you've read it, right? Like it just, when you read the stories of people and their relationships with their job, it creates, a deep connection with that person, but it also, holds up a mirror to the way that you treat people because you get to see the impact of interactions people have. So even though the clip has Patrick talking very positively about his job, when I asked him what the major misconception was about people, that people have about barbers, he immediately went into, like, I have these guys that come in and they assume I couldn't cut it in college. They assume that I'm a guy that just couldn't make it in some other place, so I defaulted into this career and that it's not a good job. It's a low-level job. And he was talking about the feeling he has from some of his clients. And when you hear that, you go, oh, there's always this kind of class undertone when people are talking about their jobs that gives you a different view of how society works and how it could work.
Well, in America, the first question strangers ask you is, what do you do? They don't do that in other countries. And if you don't do something that's superlative, then you're obviously subpar in some way, I guess, is the undercurrent there. Joni, this is a six-episode development arrangement. Mm-hmm. What happens after that? Can they take this off and continue on without our supervision? Or
Mike, we are just still reeling from Saturday's event. I mean, we are still hungover from that. But no, in all honesty, I think we'll just see what happens. I mean, we're so excited to produce these six episodes. And
when does it start?
Well, we're going to start
when
production.
When does it drop, as they say?
Oh, yeah. No.
A good question.
It is.
Joni.
So we are actually going to start negotiating and looking into production this week and the next week. So I can't say exactly when it'll drop. Maybe at the end of this year, maybe early next. But as always, I'd recommend people keep their ears open to WFAE for all those announcements.
Okay. Joni Deutsch is our on-demand content and audience engagement manager and the brains behind our PodQuest contest. Jill Bierz and Stephanie Hale, two of the three winners, two of the three producer hosts of Work It, coming to a podcast delivery system near you someday in the future. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Charlotte Talks is sponsored by Mazda of South Charlotte, dedicated to helping customers select vehicles that fit one's lifestyle. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.